Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Longbox Heroes, episode 320. I'm Todd, joined with Joe. How are we doing today, Joe?
I feel terrible, Todd. I feel like death warmed over, but there was one time we missed a show, and it was because you had a kerfuffle with your ticker.
Right.
And that is the benchmark. You know when you go to the doctor and they show you, like, they show you the thing, it's like, how bad is your pain on a scale of 1 to 10? That's a 10.
Right.
Mine is like a 4. It's more uncomfortableness, but it's not enough for me to skip the show. I'm not going to do that to you, and we're not going to do that to our listeners.
I'm still mad you wouldn't let me do a show from the ICU. That made me sad.
The wing that was donated by the Olympic skater?
Yes, the Peekaboo ICU.
Oh. Peekaboo Street, was that someone?
Yep, that was. That's why that joke works so well.
Like all of your jokes.
That's right. I don't do olive jokes.
Oh my goodness.
One
day, we are going to do, after our singing episode, and after our 2014 steak and steak dinner, we are going to do a pun episode.
Oh, that should be pun.
Yes. One of the channels that Ace is now addicted to, they did a gimmick where it was lawnmower races. These five guys raced lawnmowers, and they all thought of names for themselves that were lawnmower puns. Like,
yo, please tell me one was yo ho mow the man down.
No. One was the mow dozer.
Oh.
The other one was Muhammad Ali.
I like that one.
The Millennium Falcon.
That's a good one.
The Mohawk.
That's all
right. Right. And then Weedy Gonzalez.
That's the best one. Right. Did you save the money for the end?
The what?
The money for the end part of it. Because,
yes.
You know, Weedy Gonzalez.
I know how to lead into Todd of what he's into. But then, like, the guy who was setting it up was just, like, whipping out all these crazy puns. And they had a pun counter going for this guy. Mm-hmm. And in the 5-minute video, it was up to 80.
Oh, you might have to send me that one. Because that seems like that's right up my alley.
Lawnmower puns.
Hey, they're puns.
That's
but
it.
But anyway.
You can't follow that up.
No, I leave that there. That's all you need. You don't need anything else.
Ugh. So, Todd, what do we got to talk about in the world of comics today?
Inhumans. Always the Inhumans. A new Star Wars character gets a new mini.
Yes.
A controversial creator on maybe a Wonder Woman title.
Oh no.
Yes. Did you know that gratings and slabbers are now becoming exclusive to certain territories? Oh my goodness.
Like a cheese grater? Like, you can't do that because they banned hardcore wrestling in a lot of states.
That's right. When it comes to cheese, let's make America great again. And certain cons that creators won't go to, speaking of political stuff. Also, all con news, the shows that are happening this weekend.
It's a quiet week for cons.
Well, we're getting towards Thanksgiving. People are getting ready to baste those turkeys.
Right. I was, and again, not as to tip our hands for con notes, but I noticed that last weekend was the last Wizard Con of the year. They're not doing anything for the rest of November and nothing in December.
Interesting.
Exactly. I'm intrigued by that as well.
Free digital books and sales?
Yes.
What we read last week, because we have so much news this week. We only have two books. The both books that we were both looking forward to. It was Invincible Iron Man number one and Batman TMNT Adventures number one.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the best character of this week is the best Deadpool.
Right.
And then at the end of the show, we're going to have spoiler-filled talk of Legends of Tomorrow and Walking Dead. There was no Flash last week due to something was going on that Tuesday. I forget.
Right. I forget. My mind has been wiped of that, but I'm sure it might come up in the news.
Did you take some of Torchwood's retcon? Is that what you did?
No, I did take one of Job's forget-me-nows.
Okay.
But I will. So let's get into some of that news. Let's start things off with Inhumans. And I do want to thank Jason and David over at Podvocacy, who kind of covered this a little bit for me. Todd, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the majority of people in the comic book industry, I don't want to say are fed up with the Inhumans, but they're not picking up what the Inhumans are putting down.
What?
So
everybody loves the Inhumans.
There was supposed to be an Inhumans movie, and then that got delayed, and then it got taken off the schedule. Well, now they are going to be doing an Inhumans TV show, but the first couple episodes, maybe, are going to be put together as a movie that is going to have a 2-week limited engagement exclusively in IMAX theaters, September of 2017. And then the show is going to start on the American Broadcasting Corporation network.
But are those two shows are going to, they're not going to air, you have to see them in IMAX first, you know?
I think the way that it reads is the first two episodes are going to be put together as a movie. You can go watch it in IMAX, and then they're going to be the first two episodes of the TV show. Then with additional content that can only be seen on the networks.
Gotcha, with more Inhuman stuff.
Right, more Inhuman than Inhuman.
I was going to do that joke, but
I stole your script this week.
Oh, I'm glad somebody has a script for the show.
It was that mess up with the emails I had the other day.
Well, you as president, you have to be careful with those email servers.
Right. But what are your thoughts on this? Like, obviously it's going to tie into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I would assume, since Inhuman stuff has been hot and heavy in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., as far as I know, because I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., are you up to date on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, I tapped out last season somewhere. I don't know if it was the end or what. I couldn't get into it, and then they started slapping more and more Inhuman stuff into it. And I actually thought it might be cool to watch it for Ghost Driver, but I didn't get around to it. But I'm not an Inhuman guy. I'm tired of the Inhumans. I'm sick of the Inhumans. So I don't know. I'd have to see who's involved in the show if I'd be interested in it. But like I said, I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, and I'm not an Inhumans fan. So this doesn't. We'll have to wait and see where this goes.
Right, and unless this is already in production, like, this is supposed to be ready to go in less than 10 months.
Well, that's not a problem.
I don't know. Like, to be putting together, you know, essentially something that is to look as good as an IMAX film, you know, I would think this is something that they would at least have to have maybe casting done already for.
See, I think you're overthinking it that way, where look as good as an IMAX film. It's not, because a lot of things get these, you know, theatrical releases, like, you know, the first two episodes of Doctor Who each season. They'll show those in a movie theater. They'll show other things in a movie theater. So I'm not looking at it that way. I'm just looking at it as that's their kind of, like, I guess, to have their cake and eat it too, because they were like, oh, Inhumans is going to be a movie. No, it's not. Like, nobody cares about the Inhumans. So we're gonna make a TV show, but we're going to pretend it's a movie. So we technically are right when we said there was going to be an Inhuman movie. So you can get a lot done in 10 months. I know, like, they've announced series 10 months, and they have no, you know, actors or directors ready. As long as you have the scripts, you're good to go.
So my question to you, is this going to happen?
Probably. I think so. I think ABC is trying to get their... Okay, let me backtrack a little bit. Will it be in the movies? That I don't know. Will there be an Inhuman show? Probably, because Disney, ABC, and Marvel itself are really hot and heavy to get Inhumans in the pop culture, like, you know, the zeitgeist. But whether or not they'll pull the plug on the movie as it gets closer, showing it in theaters, that I can't call.
Okay, so the other thing, will this then replace Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on the schedule? Like, is this going to be the soft transition, like when Married with Children gave the rub the Top of the Heap?
One of the best shows ever.
Right, Top of the Heap.
Matt LeBlanc's probably his best role.
That and the movie where he played baseball with a monkey.
Oh, Dunstan Checks In. That's a fantastic movie.
It's not the name of the movie, but all right.
Dunstan Checks In?
No, it's Ed.
Ah, well, isn't there a Dunstan Checks In? Or Dunstan the Monkey
Checks
movie?
In is the one with Jason Alexander.
Oh, okay. He's on that crappy show. I forgot.
Wow.
But do I think it'll replace Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I don't think so, because I remember Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was looking for a spinoff with Mockingbird and her ex-husband. So this will probably fill that void.
Right. They went and took those two characters off the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. They were so certain that the show was going to get picked up. And then that didn't happen.
They basically ropered them.
Right.
Yep. So,
Forza crowded them.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it could happen. Unless the ratings really drop on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then it wouldn't be so much as a replacement as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. got axed. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what I think.
I will say this. It's 10 months from now. I will put it in my calendar. I will go see this in the IMAX theater.
I guess I have to go with you.
Right, you have no choice now.
It's part of the bond we share. Right. We're like Quantum and Woody when it comes to that.
Okay. Without all the superpowers or cool adventures.
But I'm Woody. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Buzz.
You're Buzz. You're the goat.
I'm the goat.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so. The solicitations for February are not out yet, which I'm worried about. But they are teasing some stuff that is coming out in February from some of the big companies. And Marvel, of course, is letting us know that they are doing another in the rotating miniseries of Star Wars books. We had Dr. Aphra replace Darth Vader on the schedule. We still have Poe Dameron running, and whatever the most recent one that is running, they're going to replace it with a Cullen Bunn penned Luke Ross art Darth Maul miniseries.
Mm. And I can get behind that. With the minis and the characters they've been doing, I've been in and out on some of them. I've tried most of them. I think maybe all of them, but except for the Poe Dameron. But Darth Maul, definitely, I can give that a try. And I was always a big Luke Ross fan.
Mm-hmm.
He did the first six issues of Jonah Hex with Palmiotti and Gray, some of the best art I've ever seen. And that guy, Luke Ross, is a chameleon. He can do anything. Any style you want, he can mimic and go. So I'm interested to see what style he uses for Darth Maul.
You want him to draw a truck, he'll draw you a truck.
That's right.
He painted his car with a brush. It looks real nice.
You want him to draw you a horse, he'll draw you a truck.
Everybody likes dune buggies.
That's right.
Lately I have not been loving the miniseries as this is. I didn't love the Chewbacca one. The Lando Calrissian one was okay. And then they did an Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker during the prequels. And, this allegedly takes place during the prequels, which don't exist. But I do like Darth Maul, and I do like Cullen Bunn, and I do like Luke Ross. So I will probably be getting this book.
So, how what's your feeling so far on the Han Solo mini?
I like the Han Solo mini.
Okay. So, I'm with you. I liked the Lando one. I only liked the Princess Leia one. I really liked the Chewbacca one, but I'm a Phil Noto fan.
Mm.
So, I really like his stuff. So, I don't know. I think I've liked more of the minis than I've disliked.
Gotcha. So that's coming out in February. We'll remind you as that book comes out a little bit closer once the full solicitations are out, which we'll probably discuss any other notable potables that come out next week. Speaking of books that may or may not be happening in the future, I could just say Frank Cho and be done.
But then you could say Frank Cho and just say Wonder Woman and also be done.
Right. So while on his European convention tour, Frank Cho told an Italian newspaper that DC was looking for him to do a Wonder Woman book, But he can't and won't do it until Greg Rucka is off the book. More or less.
And well, I think it's not that he won't do it. I think it's he can't do it.
Right.
Because I think Greg Rucka has a lot of the say on what goes on with any Wonder Woman thing.
Well, that's the thing. If you remember from the story, Cho quit. Greg Rucka was fine having him doing the covers of the book. He was just looking for the covers to be edited in the way that he liked them to be edited. So I'm sure Rucka was not enamored, but I'm sure he was fine with Cho on the book. And I'm sure DC was happy with, you know, arguably one of the top and, you know, whatever you want to say about him, but notable cover artists and artists in general doing the covers on their big book. I'm sure, you know, that was something that DC was happy about.
Right. But no, what I'm saying is because Rucka has so much control of Frank Cho saying the words, well, I won't do it until Rucka's gone. I think it's more there's no way he can do it until Rucka's gone. You know what I'm saying? I'm just playing I'm just examining the words, if you know what I mean.
Right. And of course, Cho has a line in the interview where he says, and I quote, "And all these female political agenda, I'm not even addressing that. She's Wonder Woman. Where there's a bad guy, she's going to fight the bad guy and beat him. That's all it is. That's what comic books should be." And I can't say I disagree with him for the most part, but if you want to work a little bit of something in there, you can. But obviously you got to be careful on both ends, because if your book is just good guy punches bad guy in the face, and the only thing that you have over any of the other 14 books that are the same thing is that you have fancier art, you know, there's a chance if your art's not the fanciest, it might get lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you take a character like Wonder Woman and decide to do something a little bit different with the character and, you know, get what sort of female agenda, quote unquote, in there, you know, I'm sure that will reach to a different audience that might not have picked up a book where a good guy punches a bad guy in the face for 20 pages.
Right. I'm with you 100% on that. I can't add much more.
Now, DC did say that there are no current plans for a Wonder Woman project by Frank Cho.
Notice they use the word current
plans. Right. So, I don't know. This seems to be both DC and Cho possibly working out secret agreements behind Greg Rucka's back.
Which would be fantastic. I just think that that's the way all dealing should be in comics from here on out, is that you should just be, you know, backroom cigars, fine brandy, and just working angles any way you can.
Right. When Cho goes to Minneapolis and does all the TV interviews to promote all the towns that he's going to be in next month, and then FedExes his notice and starts working for Vince the next day, that's kind of like what's going on here.
Okay, if you say so.
I do say so. It's always about wrestling, Todd, for me.
Oh, my goodness. I got to get out.
Speaking of how comics are like wrestling.
Oh, boy. The provinces?
Yes, this is going to lead nicely into all of our conventions that are happening this weekend, which aren't that many. But as Todd had mentioned, CGC, the big dog, if you will, the first name that everyone thinks of when it comes to grading comics, something that Todd and I are big fans of,
mm-hmm.
They now have a monopoly on a bunch of conventions up until 2020.
That's right. Emerald City Comic Con and C2E2, Chicago.
Right, and that's two big ones.
That is two big ones.
And go ahead.
That's ReadPop, so I could see them being New York Comic Con exclusive eventually.
Yep.
Because those two, you know, like maybe they're testing the waters, seeing how much flack they're going to get from the smaller companies and whether or not they need them or not. And New York Comic Con doesn't, because somebody will fill that table. So I see that domino falling eventually.
Right. So to me, the thing is, the fact that they're blocking other companies from being there is crazy to me.
What? Why?
Because that's the beginning of a monopoly.
It's not a monopoly, because you can send the books off anytime you want.
Right.
And get them graded from the other companies. This is just, now I'm wondering, because I read a little bit of the article, because they have on-site grading. Do you know what I mean?
That, like, and right, I think that's what this is, the on-site grading.
But that, I remember at CGC when I got the, you know, the coveted Super Pro CGC for our football picks.
Mm-hmm.
They also, you can also take them at the show and they'll take them and mail them back to you. So I'm wondering if, like, this is like a weird way where it's like, all right, you can't do on-site grading, but you can take, you can, you know, take the books and mail them back later. Or if this is just all like your CGC, you own the farm. Nobody else can come in to do anything, which I think is the way it's tending to lead. But it's not, I don't see it as a monopoly on the business. It's just a monopoly of being able to do the cons, which are two different things to me.
Gotcha.
Because the smaller than CGCs are much cheaper, but they don't have the cachet of CGC, so they're not going to go away. Because people are like the, I can't think of the, it's like PX something or something like that. Like, those are cheaper. People are still going to use them just because they're cheaper.
Now, here's my thought on this. After a couple years, maybe one round of conventions, two rounds of conventions, they say, okay, we'll start letting yous in, but we get a piece.
Well, I'll bet you they're getting a piece of CGC, too, because they're
exclusive. No. I say CGC says, and like, they broker the deal with Reed Pop and say, okay, we'll let these other guys in, but this is their way of start scooping up all these smaller ones so they are the only game in town.
I thought you meant Reed Pop would need a piece of what they're doing. I got what you're saying.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe. But I don't know. I don't know if I could... On that one, I guess if you wanted to do the con, you'd pay it, but who would pay a competitor to go work somewhere? That's never happened, right?
Exactly. CGC is like Andre. He's only allowed in certain towns.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Keep it within the ropes, Sposto. Right.
So, speaking of conventions and things going on there, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
So, last week, there was a presidential election.
That's right.
And the red team won. Is that the best way we could say it?
Okay, that's fine.
All right. We try to remain as apolitical on the show as possible.
Unless the stories drive us there.
Right, and these stories do drive us there. Because there were a litany of creators who came out, and big name creators, who said, I am not going to attend conventions in those states that voted red.
Mm-hmm.
And those are people like Humberto Ramos, people like George Perez, who said he will fulfill his contracts that he has scheduled, but anything afterwards he will not be taking after that, that were in those red states. And Mark Waid has even come out and said that he, amongst others, have said that they are going to use their quote-unquote white privilege to hopefully be able to, I guess, bridge the gap and create discussion at conventions regarding this sort of issue.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a touchy subject, Todd.
It kind of is.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, because I'm this one has my head spinning.
Okay, so I commend any creator who decides to forego money to stand up for whatever they believe in, political or otherwise. And obviously there has been a lot of people after this past Tuesday that have said a lot of things regarding their departure from the country and what they're going to be doing with their lives and big name people. But for, you know, and Humberto Ramos is of Mexican descent. George Perez is of Latino descent. Some of the other ones as well. You know, people going as far as deleting their Facebook, deleting their Twitter, all sorts of things of that nature because of this. Because this is a very touchy situation. And I could completely see... And again, I'm not saying that it did happen, will happen, or could happen, but all it takes is one time of a creator who was very public online in regards to their anti-Trump views to get into an issue at a convention in the wrong mm-hmm. state.
And I'm going to go off topic just to make a point and sure. then come back. It's kind of like, did you see the Stephen Amell article?
No, I missed that.
Where Stephen Amell was at a con and a fan just headbutted him.
Oh, really?
To try and start a fight with the Green Arrow.
Now, was this politically or racially motivated?
No, it was but I'm just saying something as stupid as that. A guy who just wants to see how, if he can go a few rounds with the Green Arrow, I'm guessing, would start a fight. Can you imagine people of different political views? Like, what can happen?
Yes.
And I know that's, you know, that's stupid that I bring that up, but to me, that happened at a Comic-Con. Now add politics.
Yes.
Which, you know,
is a hot-button issue.
Yeah, which usually goes swimmingly in all conversations.
Yes.
Especially when you have different people with different views. And if you have a view and you promote that view, and I'm saying both sides, the other side will come and show up. It inevitably happens. So I'm like, I could see anything and everything happening here on out for a good amount of time.
At least for the better part of the next 4 years.
Yes, yes.
So, it's terrible that this is what the country has become. And obviously, you know, the reason that Todd and I primarily are apolitical is because, you know, we do a dumb comic book show.
Yeah, there's no place for it here, as far as I'm concerned. You know, right. Like,
and once you start getting into that, you know, you're going to start alienating people for whatever reason. And obviously, neither one of us want to alienate people. We don't want, you know, and obviously there's been discussion this past week over people discussing about safe spaces and safety pins and, you know, all welcome, all encompassing. And Todd and I do have some disparaging views to a lot of our listeners, but I feel as though we handle them in a way that is not alienating to anyone.
Or disrespectful to people?
Right.
I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to put a word to right. it that I can.
And when that trickles over into our dumb little world of comic books, we do our best to kind of skate around it. But, you know, it's going to be a thing over the next 4 years.
We're going to have no choice
but to address it in some way, shape, or form.
That's more and more, I have a feeling this is going to get bigger and bigger.
Right.
It's not as we get further away from, you know, that specific Tuesday that it's going to get, you know, smoother and smoother. I think it's only going to get worse and worse. And as a gesture of goodwill, I think me and Joe would say we'll do any con you bring us to.
Right.
Let's go.
We'll bring our awards to your convention.
That's right.
The trophy will be purple mm-hmm. to show unity.
That's a good idea.
Right, right. And we're not going to charge people. We're just going to do, as long as you pay our way, we'll come.
That's right. And the trophy will stand straight up at a 90-degree angle. That way it doesn't lean either way.
Right. Exactly. It's going to go right down the middle, Daddy.
That's right. It's the Switzerland of award shows.
Wow. So, again, my hat's off to anyone who is deciding to put their beliefs ahead of essentially attending conventions, making money to avoid any sort of possible issues. And obviously, I would like to think of the good in people that nothing would happen, but it's better to be safe than sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my hat's off to those creators. And, you know, did Baltimore go? What way did Baltimore go?
What way does Baltimore fall? I don't know.
Yes. They'll be the ones that have the second and third rate CGCers there.
Oh, and the third rate podcasts.
Right. Speaking of conventions, as we have been, it's a light week for conventions. As Todd mentioned, it's getting close to the holidays, of course. Not a lot of people want to travel. And by people, I mean, of course, the creators themselves and people, I'm sure. They're going to be doing enough traveling over the holidays. There is a ton of smaller conventions, the ones that have no guests, the tried and true brick and mortar, if you will, guys putting up comic books and selling them, and that's really it. There's a ton of them this weekend. Mm-hmm. There's even one in our little borough of Scranton this weekend.
Ooh.
Which, sadly, we will not be attending.
We won't be attending as guests.
Oh, but you'll be attending as a person looking to buy stuff.
Sure. Hey, I got money in my pocket.
Right.
Maybe I'll get you a nice Christmas gift there.
Talk to me. Write that down. Remind me.
Okay.
All right. Remind me about something later.
Okay. Which part? Does it matter?
About the convention this weekend.
Okay, I didn't know if it was the Christmas part. That's why I'm asking.
So, the only real big convention happening this weekend is the New Jersey Comic Expo. A smattering of media guests, but it's a ton of comic book guests. Everyone from Jim Calafiore, Neil Adams, Mark Bagley, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, and the biggies for us, Todd, would be the 1-2 punch of Keith Giffen and Kevin Maguire.
Hey,
what are you doing this weekend? Did your plans just change?
Yep, let's get a drive in.
Road trip?
Yep. Just keeping my voice even keel. That's all I'm doing.
There you go. Keeping that rage subsided.
That's right. Hey, a red ring just flew through the window.
Oh, no. Don't let your cat get it.
I don't have a cat.
You need a cat so he can get the ring so you don't.
I have one cat in my wall. I think I should use another one to get it out.
That's a good idea, Charlie. So, all the links to the convention this weekend, plus everything else that we're going to discuss, are going to be in the show notes, which I did learn from Jason Kirk, that do show up on the other podcatchers of your choice. And, of course, be sure to check out the other shows in the soon-to-be-named network, Podvocacy comes out on Monday nights, Profane Arguments and Puzzle Warriors 3. They are back, and I'm sure Profane Arguments is going to be heated, just like the pre-election special that dropped Tuesday night for Prodigal Son's podcast. I sadly learned that there will be no Talking Gimmicks this week, sadly, but go check out Joey, Julio, and the gang's other episodes. Of course, check out Longbox Heroes After Dark as well, and past episodes. Anytime one of our little friends has an episode, it'll go up on soon-to-be-named-network.com.
When you said Joey and Julio, I thought you were going to say down by the schoolyard for a second.
They live in completely other sides of the country.
Ooh.
And Texas and Buffalo are away from each other, right? Or Rochester. I don't want to say Buffalo. He's a Buffalo fan. He lives in Rochester.
Yeah, that's a different place.
I hear Webster's where it's hopping.
Ah, I know that's where the wings come from. That's all I know.
Oh, boy. It's Buffalo. You can find out more about those wings on this week's After Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. So, digital sales and freebies, no new freebies. Marvel has been doing their cycling of the freebies after the show goes live. So, if they are live when the show goes up, I will make sure to put them up. Also, Comixology is doing their darndest to hide sales.
What? Hide them?
Yes. Usually, when you go to Comixology, they have a little scroll thing that goes. And it'll show, like, new releases, sales, blah, 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 blah. Well, there are three sales currently going on, and only one is in the little scroll. The one that's in the scroll is Deadpool Collections. And hey, I like Deadpool. It's Deadpool Classics. You can't go wrong by picking up those first, let's say, trades 2, 3, 4, and 5. Some of the best comics in the history of the world are collected in those. The rest are pretty good as well, but those four especially. And you can get them for under $30 for those four trades, and they're humongous.
Gee, I wonder who your best Deadpool is going to be.
Right.
But
so, the other sales, which I think they should be publicizing, and I had to like dig on the site to find them, mm-hmm. is DC is having a sale on all Watchmen-related stuff,
mm-hmm.
and Marvel is also having a sale on Inhumans stuff.
Jeez, they're pushing Inhumans?
But they aren't. It's like Inhumans are on sale, but like unless you dig through the site, you're not going to find them.
Oh,
but that's why I go and dig up these handy dandy links and give them to you, the listener.
You do all the work so they don't have to.
Right. That's the public service I provide to you, the listeners of the show, because I love you all that much.
You're a nice guy.
Let's not
and you crazy. Like him. Let's not and you crazy. Like everybody.
So, let's get into what we read from this past week. Again, we've talked for a while about the convention stuff, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of TV talk a little bit later on. Todd, I'll let you begin with Invincible Iron Man number 1.
Yes, by Brian Michael Bendis and Stefano Caselli? I'm hoping I get that right. This is, you know, spitting out of the thrilling conclusion of Civil War II.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it's the story of Riri Williams and you know, her younger days before she built the armor. It's about her family and, you know, how she was diagnosed as a genius and everything.
Diagnosed? As though it's an illness.
It is in the Marvel Universe, because people look at it. They get sketchy when you're diagnosed as a super genius.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, she was diagnosed as a super genius. So I want you to apologize.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
Okay, this is why the country's tearing itself apart. But I really enjoyed this issue. I'm actually sad that a major event happens in this, because there was two characters. Riri gets to know, like, some characters, and I really like the interaction, and we're probably not going to get much of an interaction between these two anymore, but I really liked it. And then we find out, I kind of find it amusing that the way Secret Wars ended, and, you know, we had all these, like, leakings of where's Reed Richards. Now it's the same exact thing with Civil War II not being over, and it's like, well, what's happened to Tony Stark? Oh, but we're not going to tell you in here, because we're going to save it for, you know, the big reveal of Civil War II. But all around, I enjoyed the book.
This is a boilerplate, standard template, Brian Michael Bendis comic book. And that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff is very much telegraphed, especially if you read the previous run of Invincible Iron Man. We get the scenes of her showing up at that college in the middle of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a good job of establishing how Riri is going to be a different kind of Iron Man, an Iron Man who is still learning,
mm-hmm.
which I think will be pretty cool. And then again, of course, the reveal at the end of where's Poochie? Or, I mean, where's Tony Stark?
Gotcha.
Or is he in this box? What's in the box?
I think it was a cube was in the box. I can't think of the cube from Portal.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It looks like a companion cube from Portal.
I know there's something with cake in Portal.
The cake is a lie.
Okay.
Just so you know.
It's not a lie in Splosion Man.
Okay.
All right. Not a lie. That's the extent of my video game playing.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. It's good. You know, if you like Bendis, if you've been reading his stuff on Invincible Iron Man, all the pieces are there. This very easily just could have been the next numbered issue, but giving it a new number one. You know, obviously, if everything was on schedule with Secret Wars, it would have a little bit more impact, but I'm sure a Brian Michael Bendis penned Iron Man book with a new female lead will do just fine in the sales charts.
That's right. And I have to say, Caselli killed it.
Yes.
On this. That's the one thing, like, you said it's a boilerplate Brian Michael Bendis story.
Yeah.
But the art, like, is I actually think the better half of this book. I absolutely adored it. And, you know, I think Caselli's going to be, you know, big pretty soon.
If he's not already big, I would say Caselli is on the cusp.
Right.
Marvel hasn't done a little flyer at the comic book shops to tell us who the new young guns of Marvel are yet in a while, so I don't know where he fits on the young guns scale.
I think he's
in between Emilio, but not quite Lou Diamond Phillips.
What about Christian Slater?
Are we going to have two episodes in a row where you mention Christian Slater just to pop one person?
Listen, Young Guns 2 is the best of all the Young Guns.
Is that because John Bon Jovi dies?
Well, John Bon Jovi is the one good John Bon Jovi song is in that movie. Blaze of Glory. And I absolutely love Young Guns 2. It's fantastic.
I'm fine with those late 80s, early 90s young boy action films. Whatever.
These weren't young boy act. These were gritty westerns, Young Guns and Young Guns 2. It had Christian Slater. Pump up the volume. He had a cameo in Star Trek 6. Christian Slater's the best. And he was in that little movie, Heathers.
Isn't he in some TV show that's on right now?
I think I don't know. He might be on a TV show. I know he did Cuffs, the movie. That was fantastic.
Cuffs. Anyway, let's talk about the other book that we've read. Did you read this?
Yes, I read this.
All right, so this is Batman TMNT Adventures from IDW, written by Matt Manning. No relation to Matt Mang.
Oh.
Take some of those letters out. You're close.
Mm-hmm.
With art by John Somariev. I don't know. I mispronounced that. That's pretty bad. So, if you're familiar with the Batman animated series, and kind of sort of familiar with the Ninja Turtles from the cartoons, that's this book. The Turtles think that it's Krang coming back through these portals, but it turns out that something is happening on Gotham to cause the villains to come through Gotham and into the New York City of the Ninja Turtles. The Ninja Turtles fight Clayface in the sewer, and then we get the reveal of who the real big bad and all this is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
This was a perfectly fun, light read. We talked about Invincible Iron Man kind of being boilerplate. They definitely do take, I don't want to say for granted, but they do a little bit more time kind of giving you the backstory on the Turtles than they do on the Batman. I think they're accepting that you know the Batman character. If you were picking this book up cold, that you probably know Batman a little bit better than this iteration of the Ninja Turtles.
See, I think that's what it comes down to, is it's the iteration of the Turtles, where Batman is pretty much interchangeable with a lot of the versions. Like if you've read the Brave and the Bold, kind of kooky cartoon, you're gonna, you know, it's not that, you're not like that lost when it comes to, you know, the animated adventures or any of the other Batman cartoons that the Batman, like whatever. But the Turtles, like from Mirage to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoons from the 90s to this one, they've done a lot of like different versions where their origins are completely different and stuff like that. So I think they kind of felt that they had to go that way. And it was good for me because I don't know anything about the Nickelodeon Turtles,
right?
But for me, it was more the animated adventures that Batman that got me in, and I absolutely adored that half. Alfred killed me with his dinner gag. There's a dinner gag in there that just shows like how snide he can be towards Bruce. But I, you know, I had fun. I had fun with the other Batman Turtle crossover that they had. I'm having fun with the first issue of this one, and I still say I want to see the dark, gritty Batman with the Mirage Turtles someday. Just keep giving us different versions of the Turtles and Batman teaming up, and you'll get my money.
Well, I want, now that you mentioned it, they could just do a whole line of these, crossing mm-hmm. every iteration of Batman with every iteration of the Turtles ever. My pitch is the aforementioned Brave and the Bold Batman
mm-hmm.
with the live-action musical version of the Ninja Turtles that was a touring stage show.
Ah!
Now, I don't know if you could do a full miniseries on that, but that would definitely be good for like an 8 or 12 pager in an annual somewhere.
If not, I don't know. I think you can do a whole $5.99 special with that.
You get and again, I forget what character Neil Patrick Harris played on The Brave and the Bold. Like Singin' Charlie or something.
Singin' Charlie?
This one I'll look up.
All right, you do that. But yeah, so we'll get a lot of Turtles Batman stuff. You know what?
He played the Music Meister. And the episodes that he showed up in, he infected everyone with song that they had to sing all of their lines.
Oh my goodness.
So if he's the villain trying to ruin the Ninja Turtles stage show, and then Batman Brave and the Bold shows up with, oh, I don't know, Space Uber, let's just say. And then they all sing.
Oh my goodness. You know how much I would pay to see that?
Right.
Ugh.
$5.99.
And then could we work in Superman the Musical somehow?
We could work in Spider-Man the Musical.
There was a Superman musical too, just so you know.
Like It's a Bird, It's a Plane or something it was called?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Horrible.
We should do all those or go see all those.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're looking forward to coming, or what we read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com, every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern time or so, we put up the poll post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in trade, whether you get them in single issues, digitally, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned, be prepared, be ready. This is another big, giant, killer week. I think you and I have the same amount of books outside of that that novel, which I'm guessing does not count.
Right, because that's all prose stories, and there's no way I'm going to read that whole thing before next week.
I challenge you to, and then put that on another podcast.
Oh, and also, add Archie 14 to my list.
And the most recent issue of Captain America, Steve Rogers, I have to put on mine, but it came out last week, but it was shorted at our shop. Thank you, Diamond. So that is coming out for me, quote-unquote, this week.
Ah, do you have to put it on your list? Because you have Sam Wilson.
Right, I didn't put it on this list.
Gotcha. I put mine on last because I managed to get one.
Well, that's you and your Todd privilege.
Oh, boy. Todd privilege is fantastic, by the way.
I don't know what I would do with Todd privilege. So, Todd and I attempt to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. Todd is currently in the lead with 28 correct guesses. I have 27 correct guesses. We only have a few more weeks in the year before this is all for moot. It's close. But you started the show, so you go first, sir.
I'm looking over your list, and you have lots of interesting books that you very much love.
Yes.
But I'm going to take a swing with a big old gauntlet and say Thanos number one is the book you're looking forward to most.
That is the book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week, as I'm almost certain that it is the book you're looking forward to coming out this week.
I don't know, a Thanos book drawn by Diodato.
Right.
Maybe not. It's the book I'm looking forward to most.
Right. Again, I was going to say, it hits, we've talked in the past about the DC chalkboard. Of it's like, this artist and this writer and this character should equal this number of sales.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Todd equation is, this character plus this writer plus this artist, is Todd going to buy it?
Right.
This is a book tailor-made for you.
Right. The only book that would be tailor-made more is a DC Jason Aaron, Mike Diodato, Jonah Hex book. I would be like, we just stop comics. We won here.
So thank you, everyone, for checking out the site. And while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out previous poll posts, just in case you missed a week of stuff. And you want to know what was out a couple weeks ago and make sure, you know, when Comixology hides books that are for sale or something, or they change a numbering on stuff and your subscription doesn't work, whatever. Know what's there. Be sure to check out past episodes of Longbox Heroes, this show, and Longbox Heroes After Dark. And, of course, past weekly questions just to see other things that we've prattled on about in the past. Now, while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to click on our store button right underneath the fancy logo that we have there and buy stickers and shirts with that fancy logo on it. The shirts are red, white, and black, and they look red, white, and red, white, and black, and they are awesome. Also, the stickers are really awesome, too, and I think the store is set up pretty easily. I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't bought anything through the store. But one thing that I know that is easy is the Amazon banner, the click-through banner. Anything that you purchase through there, we get a little bit of a kickback from, and we do appreciate any and all purchases. And I like learning people purchasing things that I did not know you can get through Amazon. Now, I did know that you can buy cat tree furniture through Amazon. I did not know that you can buy the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Battle of Los Angeles 2016 Nights 1, 2, and 3 through Amazon.
The what?
It's a wrestling company out in California. And okay. The Battle of Los Angeles is their big yearly 3-day tournament. And I did not know that was something that you could purchase through Amazon. So I was pleasantly surprised to see someone did through our Amazon link. Just like when I see people purchase their digital comics through our site, every little bit helps. Todd and I are not millionaires or even secret millionaires. And, every month when we get that check from Amazon, it just makes us smile.
Cha-ching!
Cha-ching. So, last but not least from over at the site is the best Deadpool. We asked who is the best version of Deadpool to you, the listeners, and we did get some versions. Now, John Seiler mentioned Gwenpool. Now, I have not read Gwenpool. My only exposure to her is her involvement in the Marvel Puzzle Quest game. Just like Mark Cole mentioned, that's his favorite iteration of Deadpool. Deadpool is a jokey character for the most part. One of his powers in the game is he drops a whale on you. And then depending on what level your whale power is, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it varies on what type of whale. Everything from a narwhal all the way up to, you know, a blue humpback whale. However, in the game, if you play with Deadpool once a day, you are awarded an arbitrary amount of points. It's random, it makes no sense. However, when you save up enough of those points and you use the whale power, it turns into drop all of the whales. And then you are treated to an instant win of whoever you're battling, and then there's a 10-second animation of every whale falling on your opponents.
So you could say Deadpool is whaling on them?
Right. It's a whale of a good time.
Mm.
So, Todd, I know you may not be as much as a Deadpool kind of guy as I am. Do you have a favorite iteration of Deadpool?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to leave the room now. Go ahead.
It is the old double R version in the R-rated, sweary version that I saw on film with my good buddy Joe, enjoying every second of it. It is the Deadpool movie. I had such a blast in that. I haven't read a lot of Deadpool comics. I've read, you know, I've read more guest appearances than actual comics of his. But when I went to see Deadpool the movie, I had such a blast. I thought it was a fun movie. It was a love story. It was goofy. I had a blast, and I think Ryan Reynolds really captures what Deadpool is and should be to America.
Oh, boy. I can't speak on that.
You could speak.
No, because that's, you know, the movie is fine. I saw it one time, and that's it. I'll probably never see the movie again. I'll probably never see the other movies unless I lose a bet. However, for me, as I mentioned earlier with the Deadpool digital sale that's going on, my favorite Deadpool is from the Joe Kelly run. They did a good mix of humor and pathos, good storytelling, great art from early Ed McGuinness. Pete Woods did art on that, like early stuff for them. And it was one of those books that shouldn't have made it as far as it did. And every version of Deadpool has that run to thank for it, but they also have the regime at Marvel to thank for it as well. Because Marvel did so much to try to help that book, and they could have just said no. They could have said, get lost. But they did so much to promote the book. They would do Deadpool Month, where every week there would be a different Deadpool thing. That was the first book, remember, back in the day, late 90s, early 2000s, where Marvel had the flaps in the, like, you would open up the cover, then there would be the flap. It's like, what you missed last issue.
Yeah, it would be like a retelling of, yeah, I know what you mean.
Those were first done in Deadpool. Like, those started in issue one of Deadpool. And then it was like, after a year, all the other books started doing it. Mm-hmm. They did a Deadpool month, as I mentioned, where one of the books that they did was Encyclopedia Deadpoolica. Where it was kind of the director's commentary of the run up to that point, with notes from the writers, notes from editors, kind of all the references that Deadpool makes in the book. It's one of the coolest things that Marvel did, and I'm shocked that they haven't done anything like that since.
I vaguely remember that being pretty expensive because,
well, you know, it was normal price at the time, but, you know, now I'm sure with the massive popularity of Deadpool, it fetches a pretty penny, I'm sure.
Right, because I can't imagine that having a huge print run.
I'm sure it did not have a huge run. But I have a copy, and my copy is beat up. It'll never sell for anything, because I read that thing so many times. I love that run, and, you know, I think maybe next year, when we discuss, which we will hear in a future episode, what next year's question of the week or thing of the week is going to be, I wouldn't be surprised if at least one or two issues from that run pop up.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know what you're hinting at to me.
Right.
So, don't threaten me with that.
Teasing.
But okay.
It's a tease.
It is a tease.
So next week, our question is going to be, we're kind of going out of order. We used to be going like Marvel and DC and then other, and now we're just like whatever we could think of. It's the end of the year. I don't want to say that we've given up, but I just did.
That's right. We're getting ready to be all tired on tryptophan. So,
next week, the best blank is going to be best cop.
In comics.
Right. In comics. Now, I'm going to ask, this has to be like just a regular Joe Schmo cop who is featured, has been featured, not someone who's like a superpowered person, or is it just if you're a cop, you count?
Here's the way I look at it, is someone like Savage Dragon would count.
Right.
Because he's a cop. He works the beat. He does the thing. So if that's the case, then yes. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So you can be super, but you have to work for a
police
precinct. Yes, a police department.
Gotcha. All right, and we'll have the link for that up on Tuesday or on Thursday on the website. So be sure to check that out, of course. And I think we're going to get into TV talk at this point. Yes.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
All right, so if you did not watch Legends of Tomorrow and or Walking Dead, we bid you adieu. Thanks for listening to episode 320 of Longbox Heroes, and we will catch you next week, and then we'll give a second or two for me to die.
Don't die.
I started turmoil on one of my Facebook groups before I started recording the show. And I specifically said, I'm recording a podcast and going to bed. I'm going to leave these things here to shake a hornet's nest and see what everything looks like when I wake up in the morning.
Oh, boy. That's your style.
Because that's the kind of jerk I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, Todd, I'm going to let you begin here with discussion of Legends of Tomorrow. This time, they're in Cold War 80s. They have to go and save... what, like nuclear stuff from happening, Damian Dark? Now, I do want to just say this. Damian Dark has been a character on the show for a while. He's been a character on Arrow as well. I am now just seeing that his name is spelled D-A-R-H-K.
E, isn't it?
According to IMDb, there is no E at the end. It's just
okay.
D-A-R-H-K, which makes me hate him now.
But that was the way his name was spelled in the comics. So
no excuses.
They're just being true to the comics.
If I was a person in any facet of life, and someone came to me, and their last name was something that had an evil connotation, I would not put them on my board of directors. I would not trust them with my secrets of any kind. I don't care how charming he is. His name is Damian.
And he is very charming.
The devil. And last name Dark. And the Dark is spelled... it's like, oh, that H means he's not evil. No one who speaks Russian would be evil.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did you think of this episode?
It's kind of like Victor Von Doom. I enjoyed it. It takes place in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So, right there, you have a feel like... The best decade is the 80s. But they go back in time to, you know, that there's a time traveler there. There's disruption. They figure out that it's probably something with the Cold War, because Gorbachev and Reagan are going to meet for like one of their big moments in the 80s, them signing the pact for the missiles. But really, it's a side job for Damian Dark to get something from the KGB. That we never really find out what it is. I was hoping that there would be a reveal at the end of the episode, but there wasn't. But while all this is going on, Sarah wants to kill Dark because he killed her sister in Arrow in season 4. While this is going on, there is Team Heatwave. I'm still Team Heatwave.
Now,
we
forgot to mention last week, I'm sorry to interrupt, where Heatwave gives his cold gun... to Ray Palmer. It gives the cold gun, Captain Cold's cold gun, to Ray Palmer.
And what did you feel about that, being the cold man on the show? Right. And
he's trying to mess with the gun. He's trying to change things. He's trying to be cool like Captain Cold. Get out of here. You're a bum, haircut. Get lost.
See, that's the whole thing. The best part of that this episode is saying, be true to thyself, Joe. He tried to be Captain Cold and he failed. He's good at being haircut. And that's what happened.
I thought the best part of this is when Lance Henriksen showed up as Obsidian.
Oh, Lance Henriksen is fantastic as Obsidian.
When I saw his name in the opening credits, and I always do my best to kind of avoid what's going on in these episodes. I don't like spoilers or nothing. So I see Lance Henriksen show up, and I went out of my mind. I'm like, I love me some Lance Henriksen. He's a delight whenever he shows up, and it was no different here. He was fantastic in this episode.
Hi, I'm Bishop from Aliens. I thought that's what he would say. That's something I always say.
I was the hero in Pumpkinhead.
That's right. Every time I see him from one night in a bar, we were sitting in a bar, me and a bunch of friends, and I forget what movie it was, but he was in it. And every time he would pop up on the screen, now granted, I might have had a few in me, Joe.
Right.
Because the sound wasn't even on. It was just him. He'd show up. The music's on in the background. And I'd just go, hi, I'm Bishop from Aliens. And boy, that didn't get old over 2 hours.
And also the other, I guess, the C plot of this episode was young Dr. Stein and old Dr. Stein having a go at it because young Dr. Stein is ignoring his wife.
I couldn't understand why they let the guy who looks like Hitler's favorite singer in the White House in the 80s. You know, it's like, it was on the guest list. Hitler's favorite singer, let him in.
Well, wait a second. He was in his 60s 40 years ago, so he should be 100 and something? That's probably not him. Let him in.
That's right. So that's all I'm going to think now is half of Firestorm looks like Hitler's favorite singer.
But I did enjoy this episode. I didn't enjoy it as much as you. I'm glad that they didn't go heavy on the 80s stuff.
Oh, I wish they went harder on the 80s.
I hate when they do that, because the 80s is the last decade that you could really parody in popular culture. Like, there's really nothing of substance from the 90s, the 2000s, the aughts, the 10s, or whatever. The 80s is really the last one, and depending on how hard you go in on the 80s, I think depends on the quality of your show. And they did just the right amount.
Oh, I don't know. And then we got to see the time bubble again.
Mm.
I was like, I was happy. And to see E.O. Bard is always good. So. Yes,
he's a delight. He plays a very good villain, a good hateable guy.
That's right. I go out on a limb and say I like that E.O. Bard better than I do Wells' E.O. Bard. Just because he's so nasty.
Right.
You know?
Wells is just, like, Wells was actually, you know, a much more conflicted character.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this version of E.O. Bard is just pure evil. Like, there's no redeeming qualities to him whatsoever.
Right. And what do you think was in the box that they grabbed that Sarah pickpocketed off Damian Dark, who's the best spelling of a last name ever?
Gwyneth Paltrow's shrunken head.
Shrunken head? I think it's a Legion ring.
Whoa,
that's what I think
buddy.
Is in there.
That'd be hot stuff.
That is. I think it's a Legion ring. Because remember in the thing when Flash crossed worlds, we saw like Jonah Hex, this, that. We saw a Legion ring. I think that's... I know there's some Legion talk maybe going on in Supergirl, but these shows cross over, you know.
Right. I think some of the images of the invasion aliens came out this week, and I did my best to avoid that. So I don't know what they look like. I don't know when the crossover is happening, but I'm sure whenever the crossover happens, we'll be talking about all three episodes of, or however many episodes there are, four, whatever.
That's right. You know what? You know who could take out the aliens?
Who?
Negan.
Oh, boy, there's your ham-fisted segue. Speaking of characters with no redeeming qualities.
Or all the redeeming qualities.
So, Negan and his crew show up, and they're early a week. They take whatever they want for half. You know, half is what they say half is. And they decide to take all of the guns, but none of the food. And then there's a whole second half of the episode, which was an extra long episode, where there's two guns missing. And that's a sticking bone of contention. But the majority of this episode, I liken this to. Todd, I'm not a Broadway musical fan.
Hmm.
However, there are people who do Broadway, or there were people in the 90s who did film, let's say a Nathan Lane type in Broadway, a Robin Williams type in film, where they would cast them in their production, in their film, and more or less just like, yep, this play is going to be a showcase for you to do anything and everything you want, and we'll kind of tie the story around this.
Mm-hmm.
For better or for worse, and there were some stuff with some of the other characters, of course, which we'll get into, of course, with Carl, some other stuff, of course, with Father Gabriel, and so forth, but this definitely was a Negan showcase episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Negan, do the thing that only you can do, and this was the Negan off the chain from the comic books.
Right.
What did you think of this episode?
I really liked the Negan stuff. The Negan stuff was fantastic. But the one knock I have on it, because we're spoiler talk now, is I at no point felt any tension or danger. Because I know the show is different than the comic, but in my mind, in the one thing the show does great is it doesn't mess with the classic moments, if you know what I mean.
I do.
So I'm like, well, he's never going to hit Negan with that bat, and Negan's never going to kill anybody of substance here, because this isn't that moment. This is the tension-filled moment. So for me watching it, I was kind of like, it's good. I love Negan. I love everything he's doing. He's being classic. The whole thing with, like, you know, him with Daryl and, you know,
the Daryl stuff was heart-wrenching.
Yes, the whoop dog and everything. But I didn't think he was going to kill anybody, and I just enjoyed his moment, if that makes any sense. And how evil on TV it comes across to have Rick hold the bat for most of the episode.
Yep.
Which is fantastic. Then Negan says, not only my favorite line from all of Walking Dead.
Oh, boy.
And I'm treading lightly here. All of Walking Dead. It's my favorite moment in all of Walking Dead. And it is also one, not my highest, but it is one of my favorite moments in comics, is when he basically tells me, you know, I did all this to you in a certain way. He says it, and you thank me. And I was like, oh, Negan's a terrible, terrible man. Just a terrible. And I like the fact that he said, I have to shave this off now, because he saw
with
like...
with the beard, yeah.
And he's like, oh, this has all got to go. And I'm like, yes, get rid of it. And I was, as I'm watching it, I'm like, I know Joe's going to love this, because his jacket is zipped up.
Yes. There was one scene pre the credits where, like, he walks off. And it goes to the credits, and he's like in the background, the camera's focused on Rick, and I'm like, he's got the jacket zipped up, but that far away shot, he looks too skinny for me. Let's see how this goes, and he turned it all around. I want Negan to be kind of like a little bit more bulky and physically imposing, right?
You want to be a little wider.
Yes. That's my only complaint about this Negan.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Carl stuff in this episode, where Carl ain't taking no guff from these peons. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And how Negan is starting to show a little bit of respect for Carl, maybe, possibly. And if you read the comics, maybe kind of, sort of.
Right, the little sociopath.
Mm-hmm. And then I want to talk about Dwight. So last episode, there was the Dwight and Daryl stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where we get Dwight's background and kind of how, more or less, he was in the same position Daryl's in now. And they, you know, at one time, and Negan kind of ran him through the ringer. And we get bits and pieces of what he did and what happened. Some stuff a little bit more, you know, overt. Some stuff a little bit more explicit. But they did a lot in the last episode to make him somewhat sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
As though they were setting him up eventually for a babyface turn.
Right.
This episode, they flushed all that down the toilet. And I don't care what his backstory is. I don't care what Negan did to him. I don't care anything. He was the biggest jerk in the world in this episode, a giant piece of garbage, and I don't want to see his baby face turn. I want to see him get smushed.
Right. But it's like all in that thing, kind of like when we'll get to Daryl in a second, is I think it's the long games. Like, I can't be, you know, I have to, like, he's amongst the people. He can't not be a jerk. That's what Negan expects. Do you know what I mean?
But he does and he doesn't. Because right. there's certain people, like when that one girl is roughing up the person in charge of the armory. Mm-hmm. Like, Negan's like, you don't do this unless they do it first.
Mm-hmm.
And Rosita did nothing to provoke Dwight. And he, but, like, nothing at that time to provoke Dwight. And then Dwight does all this, I would assume, in plain view of Negan, or at the very least, in plain view of Negan's henchpeople. And it kind of flies in the face of, like, him doing this.
Nope. Because they were hurting the girl, where with him, he was just taking the stuff. The guns, because even like, you know, everybody, people might get on board and go, oh, well, Carl screwed everything up with the guns. Rosita says it outside the gate. She's like, they took their guns before Carl did anything. And she's looking for a gun because she's like, they took our guns because they're going to take all of our guns. They don't leave you with guns, you know, to fight back. That's not the smart move. So taking the guns was Negan's orders. What else did he do? He took the hat and poured out her water. And basically, pouring out the water is going, you're going out there. You're not running away. I'm getting rid of all of your water, so you have to come back now with my motorcycle. That's all it was. There was no roughing them up and being... And in the end, he gives her the hat back. I'm not saying he was nice, but I'm looking at what you did compared to, like, shoving and chicken winging the woman with the guns. That's completely different. She was hurting her. These getting what we're here for, this stuff. We're not screwing around. Go get it. So I look at it as, yeah, he was a bit of a jerk, but he wasn't as much of a, I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I do, but I still, at my gut, regardless of what his reason for, you do all this last episode to give him some sort of pathos, some sort of, you know, make us feel for him, and then you're just like, yeah, this episode we're going to make him a jerk again.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why he was a jerk. They could have, you know, not done it and flushed that goodwill that they built up last week down the toilet this week.
I see it differently.
I know. Well, that's because we're two different people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a monster, and you're slightly less of a monster.
Just a hair, just a smidge.
Yes.
But, and then on top, like you said, we have Daryl who's whooped, and I'm still sticking to my plan. Daryl knows that he has, part of it is he wants to be punished for Glenn, but cause he's pretty much got him killed. And it's even said in this episode. But I think Daryl's like, if I give in too easily, Negan's too smart and he's going to know. So he's playing the whoop dog for a little bit longer.
I'd be hard-pressed to disagree with that, but I trust Daryl has a plan.
That's what I mean. And then he's going to, you know, get out, do his thing, and earn some trust, and then he can do what he wants. Otherwise, it's like Negan's like, everybody keep an eye on him.
Right.
Because, you know, he gave up too easily. He's got too much, you know, gusto to just roll over like that. And then the big... Two more things. I like that they burn the beds at the end.
Right.
And it's just like kind of a, you know, your life isn't so comfortable anymore. And then I think the big thing, and my one friend kept texting me afterwards about it, was that Rick comes out and says that he believes Judith isn't his.
Yes.
Which was never mentioned, was always like just beneath the surface in the comics. But granted, in the comics, the storyline played out different, where, you know, Judith was killed all the way back in the prison thing, where here she's along her way. But I find it interesting that he actually came out and said, I don't believe that this is my kid 100%, but I still love her.
Oh, and the one last thing, of course, I want to mention.
Sorry, jumping around.
No, it's okay. We're jumping all over the place with this, and that's fine. This was also the first episode where I was on board with Gabriel. He had quick goat thinking when Negan mm-hmm. was sniffing around looking for Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, she's dead. You know what I mean? Like, and he digged that grave real quick. And Negan said a lot of offensive things that wouldn't fly in today's world, but does because it's The Walking Dead. And I'm like, all right, Gabriel, you got one. You're back on the good person list.
So Dwight goes down, Gabriel goes up?
Yep.
Gotcha. Because I thought it was really cool. It's just like, we'll just dig up some dirt real quick. We don't. They don't have to dig a whole grave.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just a top foot, you know, make it look like there's a grave there and he's good to go.
And of course, I will say this. I'm sure the fact that they lied about Maggie being dead isn't going to come back and be a sticking point at some point.
No, Negan's known for his leniency and his level-headedness.
Right, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Really, it's Lucille first and then his level-headedness and his ability to forgive. Those are his three, you know, most famous traits.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
All right, I think we've sufficiently covered Walking Dead. It was an extra big episode, so there was a lot to discuss.
And it was the first extra long episode in a while that I didn't feel was padded.
Right, right. Because the whole time I had it in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, where's the D story that they didn't need to tack on here? And mm-hmm. There was no D story. It was awesome.
Right.
Anything else that we need to cover, my good man?
No, I could go on about Walking Dead, but I think I'm done.
All right. So for Todd, this is Joe closing out episode 320 of Long Box Heroes, and we will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop. All right, here we are with Asa. It's football pick time. Week 11. He had 8 right last week. It's almost time for bed. But he wants to win all the football picks, right?
Yep.
Okay, so who would win? A Saint or a Panther?
Panther.
Who would win? A Buffalo or a Tiger?
Tiger.
Who would win? A Bear or a Giant?
Giant.
A Steeler or a Bulldog?
Bulldog.
How about a Raven or a Cowboy?
Cowboy.
A Jaguar or a Lion?
Jaguar.
A Titan or a Colt, like a horse?
Colt.
A Buccaneer, which is like a pirate, or a Chief?
Buccaneer.
Okay. A Cardinal or a Viking?
Viking.
A Dolphin or a Ram?
Ram.
A Patriot or a 49er? An eagle or a seahawk?
Seahawk.
A packer or a redskin, which is like an Indian?
Redskin.
And lastly, a Texan, which is like a big giant bull, or a raider, which is like a pirate?
Raider.
Perfect. Right up to the end, and Asa has a request for another song. If you could hear it. Just in case they can't hear it, can you sing it? No? What if there's another song that you know how to sing that I don't need to put the music on for? To close us out. No? All right, well, let's say goodnight, everybody.
That's all right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Asa. I'm going to bed. Love you.